Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, them lies and them liars, I still make flyers, I still ride bands and say MC to hire, I'll spit to fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face, then you got them rappers with that cold broke face, they torn around the world, then they going no place, my KRS one moves at his own pace, on vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals, what a spectacle, they get mad when I say I and God are identical, you better get on your knees and praise them, these conspiracy theory rappers, I blaze them too, ooh, deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew, I'm known by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did, people don't stop calling CRISPR Gates, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid, me getting bullshit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did, from coast to coast, we roasting toast, I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close,
do
you think they really ready for you now? That there'll be many of you now. Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn? So proudly we hailed at the twilight land's gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous oh, the fire.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, yo, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoices rise high. Loud as the Georgia. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far, oh, oh, long away, thou who has bowed thy might to the light, keep us forever, oh, in the past we pray.
Life. What's going on?
What's going on in my town? What's going on out there, Blog Talk Radio? It's Monday. I'm back. I'm going to try to be a whole lot consistent this week and throughout the rest of the month and so forth and so on. Been campaigning hard. Boy, it's such a dirty game. All money ain't good money, boy. People throw money in your face to go here, go there. Every nigga ain't got a fucking price, man. Every nigga ain't got a fucking price. You know, but I was, I'm running for Congress, as you all know, first congressional district. Got 5 months for the election to go on. And I know, I said I was not going to, anything on Bobby Rush. I know that, but I'm not. Today. That's today. I ain't going to do nothing Bobby Rush today. Today I'm going to deal with Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton. Before I deal with Bobby Rush, who seemed to be under House Ethics Investigation. You know, man, people don't think I can win this election, and that just pisses me the F off, y'all. I mean, straight up. And these people in the GOP, and they got the voice of the people. We're going to shock the world. We're going to shock this world. I'm telling you. They don't think the people are ready for a change, but I smell a change in the air. I don't know what they're talking about, but, man, these people here, you know, I ain't had a nomination not even a month yet, and they're straight irking me. Lord have mercy. Let's go in and deal with my man, Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton.
Oh, let me give you my daily dose of Al. Al, you're cracking me up now, brother. Al is cracking me up trying to defend himself. Just look at the expression on his face. It's obvious he's lying. So damn obvious. Al, you a snitch, dude. Come on, come clean. Just own up to it. Say, yeah, I'm a snitch. You're damn right. I was cleaning up the neighborhood. You a snitch. I'm just having too much fun with Al Sharpton being a snitch. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense, E.T. Williams. Please visit the website at www.whateverhappenedtocommonsense.com. Well, we are getting our daily dose of Al Sharpton. And he tried to call a meeting with the National Action Network headquarters. Said, damn it, I'm going to have a meeting. I'm going to speak some facts. I'm going to kick the ballistics. I'm going to show you people that I'm innocent. And listen to what he said. He says, rats are usually people that are with other rats. I was not and am not a rat because I wasn't with the rats. I'm a cat. I chased the rat. Does he sound like Dr. Seuss or what? That is a quote out of Dr. Seuss' book, man. Rats are usually people that are with other rats. You are with other rats, fool. What you talking about? He just condemned himself without even knowing it. He said rats are usually with other rats. Jesse Jackson, Miss NBC. What are you talking about? You was hanging out with the mob, Don King. You was with rats. What are you talking about? He said rats are usually with rats. I wasn't a rat. I'm a cat. I chase the rat. God, you can't even make this up. That's his quote. That's his quote. Al Sharpton is a cat. What's up, cool cat? Cool cat said he chased the rats. Y'all got Al twisted, he said. He wasn't done. He says, I think it's very interesting. Then he got real distinguished then. He said, I think it's very interesting that many of those who are condemning me for the fighting crime and now were condemned for fighting crime. Now you're condemning me for fighting crime? Usually you say, we should fight crimes in our own neighborhood. So you admitting to being a snitch, though. Won't you just own up to it? You say, yeah, I snitched. I was fighting crime. Come on, then. You can't have it both ways, Al. Either you are a snitch or you're not a snitch. Now, if you're saying that you was fighting crime, you're still a snitch. Just say it. Just say you was fighting crime. Al said he was doing the community some good. There's a whole bunch of other people you need to get out of the community then, Al. And they're killing people down there, brother. But Al says it is interesting to me, as we deal with the whole criminalization of many in our community, it's our now. Oh, he done went like the village, our. That the premise of a lot of this media is that I should have been with the mob rather than with the government. The government is the damn mob. What are you talking about, man? It is the mob. That's legalized mobilization. What are you talking about? The government is the mob. Now what Al, let me interpret what Al's trying to say. Because he said he's a cool cat. He chased the rats. He's not a rat because the rats hang with rats. He's been hanging with rats, but he's not really a rat. He's actually a cat. You get that? Dr. Seuss, you need to write a book on this, Dr. Seuss. Al's giving you free material. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them Sam I Am. I would not eat them in a car. I would not eat them in a bar. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them Sam I Am. Al was upset, though. He was, yeah, you called me a snitch, but yeah, I did snitch. Hold on a minute. Al said that he was a cat. I thought he was a dog. Okay, wait a minute. Al said he's chasing the cat. Wait a minute. You chasing the rats. Oh, you a cat. Oh, you're not a dog. Oh, sorry. Wrong song then, Al. Thought you was a dog catcher. Oh, my God. You got to love this right here. Al was upset. Now, he does have some people standing with him now. De Blasio. You know, the communist from New York. Said Al is a good man. Oh, if a communist tell me a good man, I'm supposed to believe it. Oh, that sells it for me. The communist from New York said that Al was a good man. Just sells it for me. Al, you a snitch. You might as well come on, own up to your snitchness, man. Just say, you know what? I am a snitch. I was trying to clean up the community. No, I really wasn't trying to clean up the community. I got busted. Oh, they threatened me they was going to do something to me. I got scared like a little bitch. And I started snitching. Come on, Al. Just come clean with it. That's all I'm saying. I mean, own up to your snitchness. I'm just saying, you own up to it. Now, you can't go back to the hood because they got a code over there. No snitching, Al. You know the code. No snitching. Now, here you go. You snitching on the mob? They got you on the front page, boy. They got a death wish on you, Al. Oh, Al, he didn't sound so cocky. You know how he be getting that reverend voice when he was talking like Trayvon and when he was talking about Tawana Bradley, he be getting that reverend voice and stuff about the Duke Lacrosse case? Al was emphatic. Oh, he didn't even sound emphatic now. Matter of fact, I almost felt sorry for Al Sharpton. No, I'm just joking. Hell no, I don't feel sorry for Al Sharpton. This fraud has been propagating his nonsense for years, living off the backs of others. He used Martin Luther King to try to use a ladder to try to go up. He used Don King, James Brown, Michael Jackson. Al Sharpton, you a user, you snitch, you. You a damn snitch and a user, man. But you a cool cat, right? Are you a rat? He says, technically, rats hang with rats. See, he didn't hang with rats because he's a cat, and he chased the rats. Why weren't you chasing any rats then? You need to be chasing yourself. You need to be chasing Jesse Jackson. You need to be chasing the NAACP. You need to be chasing all your colleagues over at Miss NBC, including Chris Matthews. Matter of fact, you need to chase the president. Damn it, if you chase it, hanging with rats. You chase the rats, you a cat. Come on, cool cat, won't you chase some rats? What kind of cat never chases the rats? But this rat right here was snitching. You was a snitch. I'll just admit, you say, you know what? Yeah, I'm a snitch. Yeah, I was snitching and stuff. Then he tries to, you know, I did some things I'm not proud of. Wait a minute, are you talking about this? Because you said it was a good thing. De Blasio says it was a good thing. Now, I wonder what the black community is going to say about this. I haven't heard anything. I need to go to some black websites and see what they said about this. They've been kind of quiet about Al snitching. What, y'all let him back in the hood? I mean, he may be wearing a wiretap. Get you busted, man, for all we know. You know what? For all we know, Al Sharpton, I'm telling you, Al Sharpton probably had something to do with a whole bunch of people going down. Al, I think he may have got a bunch of people busted. Al is sitting there snitching on y'all. Man, Al, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm telling you what Al probably is wanted for. Now, the mob is going to be looking for you, Al, so you might as well get ready for that. No matter what nobody tell you, boy, you may come up missing. You may come up missing, Al. Boy, you better get you some tighter security. Better do it, Al. But Al says that he was not doing anything. But even though he's a cat and he chased rats. So was the mob rats? Is he calling the mob rats? You calling the mob the rats? He said that y'all mobsters are rats. Even though he was the one snitching on you rats. And even though Al's saying that he didn't really do anything wrong. In other words, he said he should be commended. You should give him a parade. Let's give Al a parade. Let's give Al a parade. He said he should be commended. Congratulations, Al. Cat. Al's a cat. And he don't hang with rats. He chases rats. Come on, Al. Al says, no, I am not. I repeat, I am not a rat. He's a snitch.
The Reverend Al Sharpton has said that a report that he spied on New York Mafia figures for the FBI in the 1980s is old news, and he said that he never considered himself an informant. In my own mind, I was not an informant, Sharpton said. I was cooperating with an investigation. Sharpton called a news conference at his Harlem headquarters to talk about a story posted Monday on the website The Smoking Gun that said he had recorded conversations with mobsters. The website said Sharpton was recruited by a police FBI task force to record conversations with mafia figures using electronic equipment hidden in a briefcase. It claimed he was known as Confidential Informant Number 7 in court papers. Sharpton said he went to the FBI after he was threatened by mobsters working in the music business, a story he recounted in his 1996 book, Go and Tell the Pharaoh. Sharpton acknowledged using a recording device in a briefcase, but said he did nothing wrong. The Smoking Gun posted dozens of pages of documents that it said showed Sharpton's dealings with mob figures. Sharpton said his lawyers would review the documents. What is interesting is Sharpton said clearly he was not an associate of mobsters, but was threatened by mob figures who controlled the music business. It raises questions what his real ties were to the mobsters, as he clearly has high ties in today's political world. It especially raises certain eyebrows about his background when friends and family members gathered recently at the White House for a private celebration of Michelle Obama's 50th birthday, and Al Sharpton was also present. The high-profile Obama supporter was also on the dais atop the U.S. Capitol steps last year when the president was sworn in for a second term. He was seated in front of the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, two rows behind Beyonce and Jay-Z, and about 20 feet from Eric Holder, the country's top law enforcement officer. As head of the Department of Justice, Attorney General Holder leads an agency that once reported that Obama's inauguration guests also had La Cosa Nostra contacts beyond Gotham and engaged in conversations with LCN members from other parts of the United States.
Al Sharpton, boy. Al Sharpton. Somebody sent me something with Professor Griff on it. I'm going to play that. This is my man in Detroit. He sent me something with Professor Griff. He found on the internet. So he sent it to me. Thought you all might like it. This Professor Griff on some blog talk show. And here it is. Al Sharpton, come on, man. See, that's what's wrong with African-Americans. We just can't stick together. We just can't stick together. Right, all right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Underground Railroad Radio. As promised, our weekly guest, Professor Griff, is in the house once again. What's going on, Professor Griff? Is Zaza Ali here again, too?
Yeah, she's here.
Hello?
Yeah, she's here.
Okay. All right, so I got Professor Griff, got Sister Zaza Ali. Quite interesting show today, y'all. You know, every Wednesday with Professor Griff, we cipher through the news stories that's going on out there in the mainstream. And I give you this unique perspective from Professor Griff, one that you're not going to hear
from mainstream media on the television or in these newspapers. So today, Professor Griff, we're going to talk a little bit about Al Sharpton. It's been on the front page of the paper, the TV, the internet, Facebook, everywhere you could think of. Everybody's right. Talking about Al being a rat, being an FBI informant. The people that broke it, this has been rumored. People's been talking about this for years now. He even mentioned it in a book in 1996 where he said he somewhat cooperated with federal authorities. He had a book, I think it was called Go and Tell Pharaoh.
Go Tell Pharaoh, yes.
Yeah. So this website, Smoking Gun, it's like a website where they just collect information through the Freedom of Information Act, and they put it on their website, and, they let the people know all the stuff that they don't, that they're not privy to on an everyday basis. So they come out with this information, a bunch of documents saying that he was informing, he was known as CI-7, and he is...
Right.
Yeah.
No, go on, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he assisted the FBI and the NYPD in the 80s to take down the mob. It goes on and on. I want to know, Professor Griff, well, first of all, what's your take on this? Is this like because it came out the blue. The first thing I want to know, they built this man image up. They gave him a show on MSNBC. He's running around with Obama, and then they just throw him under the bus with this one. So it's quite interesting, what's your opinion on this? I'm going to let you just go off, brother.
Well, I try to give my opinion, but just based on the actual facts that are out there, I think we need to kind of take our time and kind of reassess this whole Al Sharpton thing and just pick it up from the time that they called on him to speak out for Trayvon Martin and the Martins and Trayvon Martin's family. It seems like from that moment forward to today, I think he's been catapulted in a position to be in front of black people to take that that position as the go-to black leader, so to speak, the hand-picked black leader by our open enemy. And we know we have to be careful of that, all right? So I think we need to also keep in mind the fact that this is not the COINTELPRO. This is not counterintelligence program of J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI, all right, which in that states their purpose of this particular counterintelligence endeavor is to expose, disrupt, misdirect, discredit, and or otherwise neutralize black nationalist hate-type organizations, groups, and their leadership, spokespersons, membership, and supporters. We need to keep in mind, that's not what this is. Al Sharpton wasn't on that job when he did what he did as far as wearing a wire. Now, I know a lot of people around the country, a lot of the young people around the country, and some of the so-called older young people want to ride the coattail of any leader that white people choose to put in front of us simply because they give them airtime.
Right.
We have to be very careful of that also. Some people have written the CI-7, which is a confidential informant, which is not something, a proud badge to wear. You understand what I'm saying? Some people have written him off as a poverty pimp. Anytime they need a loudmouth spokesman someplace, they call Al Sharpton. We have to be very careful of this ever since the Tawana Brawley days. All right? He tried to jump on the public enemy bandwagon for getting rid of Professor Griff out of the group. I remember, Al Sharpton calling me to the Slave Theater in Brooklyn with Alton Maddox.
Right.
And it was critical because it seems like any time, whether you want to or not, Al Sharpton seems like he's always there to wave the banner for black people, for black people's cause. I guess there's nothing wrong with that if you're not wearing a wire for the government.
Right.
You follow me?
Right.
That's my opening statement. I'm going to let Zaza make her opening statement, then I'm going to come back to that. Hold on.
Okay.
Peace, brother. How you doing?
Peace, Zaza Ali. How you doing?
I am doing really well. You know, this is a really interesting topic. I always find it interesting how our people respond when these type of things kind of come to the forefront. It's like, you know, we champion black people now when white people go against them. It's like we jump on these bandwagons and go on these emotional orgasms without really stepping back and being logical in our thinking. I just, you know, went to Reverend Al Sharpton's website, nationalactionnetwork.net. And, you know, a lot of our people, especially unfortunately in the Christian community, I accuse them of consistent nothingness. And Al Sharpton falls under that category. And I just want to say this. I would have said this prior to this story dropping, because I definitely think that there's something behind this story as far as the timing, why they're doing it now. Anybody that has any information on the feds and how they operate, once you become an informant for them, they own you. So it's not about just doing one drop on the mob and then somehow they let you go and you live the rest of your life, you know, riding off into the sunset. No, that's not how they operate. And that probably has something to do with him. Well, I'm not going to go into that, but I wanted to talk about his. Yeah, Griff's going to go into that. But his website, when I look through his blogs, and, you know, he puts out a blog every few days, so this is talking about the platform and what he represents. And you notice, I notice keywords like marching and organizing and a time for action and hope and change, these trigger words that are being used and thrown around now, but nothing's actually happening. So I'm looking through his website, and I see hating Obama is not a health care plan. Education reform without addressing the race gap is education deform. Paul Ryan doesn't represent America. While we celebrate the Oscars, we can't abort the fight to equality. And he's talking about gender equality and diversity. From Arizona to Uganda, we must protect the rights of the LGBT community. Now, on the first page of his website, he said that they did a poll, and 1 in 4 African Americans said that Al Sharpton speaks for them. What message? And I've gone through about 3 pages of his blogs that he's done recently. Which one of these messages actually really truly speaks to the plight of black people today? This is what I call consistent nothingness. And we, on the Smoking Gun webpage, it says that the National Action Network is paying him $241,000 a year. This is a nonprofit agency. And what is it that he's really actually doing for the community outside of what about 20 other people are actually doing, which is having radio shows, doing talk shows, talking about the same thing that they're talking about on CNN and MSNBC, these same hot topics, but nothing is really getting accomplished in our communities. So while the whole, you know, FBI snitching mob thing, yeah, that's important. But to me, it's like you don't have to be an informant. You don't have to be an informant or a snitch for the government to be an agent for the government. So you can divert the people's attention by being an agent and keeping them focused on everything but the things that they should actually be focused on, i.e. marching,
right.
Donating for certain causes, and nothing ever actually comes out of that. You know, jumping on the hot topics like Trayvon Martin and ignoring the other 1,000 Trayvon Martins that are actually happening around the country. And they know that we are an emotional people, so they tap into these emotional orgasms, which is what I call them, that consistently happen and don't really go to the root of the problem, like Stand Your Ground. Let's fight Stand Your Ground, not the mindset that actually created Stand Your Ground in the first place. So I'm going to turn you back over to Griff.
Okay, so I think she laid out a few things, you know, in her opening statement that I think we really need to stop and take a critical look at, simply because we need to understand, A, what is the Smoking Gun's intention? Let's take the weight back
right.
off Al for a second.
Right, right.
Let's get the attention off of Al. What are these devils' intentions? As I just asked, why are they bringing the story out now?
Mm-hmm.
When you admitted that Al put out his book, Go Tell Pharaoh, on pages 137 through 139, he actually mentions it, that he wore the wire. And then deeper than that, I'm reading an article here from hip-hop mogul
James Jimmy Hinchman Rosemond sentenced to life in prison. What does that have to do with Al Sharpton? It goes into the whole Al Sharpton piece where it talks about, it says, one-time suspect behind the murder of Tupac has worked with the likes of actor Michael K. Williams, Sean Combs, Puffy, and Reverend Al Sharpton. Why the hell henchman work with Al Sharpton? You go back to Al Sharpton's book, Go Tell It on Farrell, between pages 137 and 139. It not only talks about him being an FBI informant and wearing a wire, but he was the main one, according to Ludacris's manager, Shaka Zulu's father, who said that he was the one who set up a shot of Shakur.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that, yeah.
So if you go read the FBI's War on Tupac Shakur and Black Leadership by John Patash, it goes into that using FBI files. The same FBI files that you and I can't get a hold of, but yet the smoking gun can get them, and a good white friend of mine, John Patash, can get them in his book, FBI's War on Tupac Shakur and Black Leadership. So there's a reason why they're releasing this particular story right now as we speak, and the timing could not be better. Because he's parading around the country with Barack Obama, showing up to parties with $200,000 plate dinners. You understand what I'm saying? And this is very critical. And we need to understand why they're propping him up. So let's be really real about this. You know, the New York Post, I believe it says, he says, I'm not a rat, I'm a cat. And then when you read the article, it says, yeah, you're a cat, you're a pussy. So we have to... Let's just pause for a second, roll the tape back. If Al was moving weight, right, he was doing what the hell he had to do. If you got busted, dude, then you eat that. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You eat that, man. Don't blame that on nobody else. But I'm surprised when I'm reading through this information, why, how did the mob let him get away with that? The Genovese family, how they let him get away with that?
Good question.
That speaks volumes, man. That speaks volumes. Who are you really working for, Al? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And who is really protecting Al? To the point where, like Zaza said, once they get you and get their hooks in you, they don't just use you for one assignment. They sent Al to befriend and hang around the dude, Ham, the boxing promoter. Don King, try to get Don King on tape. So they was using Al for a few different things. Yo, man, once you come, they little bitch, you they little bitch. Plain and simple. And they'll use you till they can't use you no more.
Now, Griff, we hear this term, black leaders, quote-unquote black leaders, you know, and people often say, you know, once you see these people get a certain amount of media exposure, they're already sold out, because for the mere fact that they got a certain amount of media exposure says that there's a hidden agenda going on. I've been hearing for years, we've heard about Al setting up Assata Shakur. There's been rumors that Farrakhan had something to do with the death of Malcolm X. There was rumors that Jesse Jackson had his hands involved with the death of Dr. Martin Luther King. Is it safe to say that once we see these brothers or sisters, whoever may be, getting a certain amount of exposure, that they are somewhat working with the system in a way in which is in an informant type way, in a COINTELPRO type way, or you get what I'm trying to say?
I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm trying to make the connection with media exposure, though. You understand what I'm saying? Just because you get media exposure, that doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something positive.
Well, people equate media exposure with them promoting you or them trying to push. Like, the only reason we know about Farrakhan or Al or Jesse is because they was pushed on us relentlessly. Like Sister Zaza Ali said, Al's doing what millions of people are doing all over the place, talking about issues on radio, on, you know, all types of different outlets. But there's certain individuals, another brother would be Charles Barron, that you see get the spotlight or get the shine on Channel 7, on Channel 9, Channel 11, on MSNBC, on CNN. So is it safe to assume that these people that get this spotlight shine on them, although they appear to be for us, there's really a hidden agenda going on?
I'm not sure if that's accurate, bro. To be honest with you, simply because the media, they use the media to destroy individuals.
Right.
Unless you're in cahoots with them, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're in the brotherhood, or you've taken the oath. But a lot of times when you get that much exposure, they're setting you up to destroy you or to humiliate you.
Right.
It's just that they couldn't do it with Farrakhan. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I haven't seen Mr. Farrakhan on TV lately. Have you?
No.
No, I don't think he's getting that much play like people think he is. And when you did see him on TV, they was trying to destroy Mr. Farrakhan. It's just that they weren't smart enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole idea of Al Sharpton's who was selected by them and put in front of us. You understand what I'm saying? But you have to keep in mind with the Trayvon Martin thing, it was the black press that broke those stories, man. It was the black press that broke a lot of these stories around the country dealing with young black men being murdered and their body parts missing. It was the Dick Gregory's that's on the front line that broke these stories. All right? Now, when Al Sharpton rides in on the white horse to be the loudmouth spokesman, that's a whole different story. And Al, when he shows up, he is the one, man, who calls the press to let them know that he's going to be there. Do you understand what I'm saying? These same black leaders that you talk about, how many times do the press speak positively about these people? That's what we really need to look at. And who made these people leaders? All right? So we need to ask these some critical questions. All right? When we're asking those type of questions. So when you say black leaders, I don't know, man. I've seen Jesse Jackson in front of in the media for a minute. But hold on, Zaza, I want to speak to that.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, there's a difference between having a spotlight and them putting the spotlight on a particular individual in order to spread confusion or to destroy that person's character, i.e. Minister Farrakhan, Khalid Muhammad, Malik Zulu Shakur, Shabazz, in certain regards, but... there's a difference between that spotlight and giving them an actual platform to voice their perspective. And you look at people like Al Sharpton, he's only going to touch certain topics. He's not going to cover the nitty-gritty topics that really need to be discussed when you talk about racism and white supremacy. In his book, The Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop, Griff talks about the names and types of disinformation agents. And one of them is an agent of influence. It says these agents can be unwitting, under mind control, or ideologically motivated to use their positions of influence to sway the minds of others. Examples of agents of influence are anchormen on TV, journalists, labor leaders, TV commentators, academics quoted by the media, and some politicians. He also says confusion agents, an agent whose job is to produce confusion by disseminating confounding information, and then provocation agent, an agent sent in to provoke and destabilize the target group to do foolish things. Now, these black leaders, most of them who are in the forefront, who are talking heads on MSNBC and CNN and whatnot, all of them can pretty much fall underneath these categories. So you give a person like Al Sharpton the spotlight and let him voice his opinion on certain topics that aren't hot-button topics, but just to keep the people going just enough to make them think that you actually care when they really don't give a damn about our people.
Right. Now, hello?
Yes,
no,
sir.
No, go on.
Yeah. Now, we've used this term a lot during this conversation, black leadership. In the past, I've heard people say that they don't like that term when it comes with black people, because why is it that we're the only one that needs a leader? There's no great Hispanic leader or Asian leader or white leader. Why do we always need a leader appointed to lead our people? Do you see anything wrong with that term black leader? Because most people often ask, who's going to be the next black leader? Is there something wrong with that term, do you think?
I think there's something very historically wrong with that and wrong with the thinking of why people think that we don't need a leader. No other people have went through what black people have went through. And we normally have the head of the village in Africa. We normally have that individual that we go through. Not that he's the leader, but if you go among the Dogon people, you know, it's that brother, that brother that sits at the head of the village. Do you understand what I'm saying? He would be considered the same thing as Denzel Washington was in the movie The Book of Eli. He has all the information in a human, not written down. So in order for you to go and to learn, you had to sit at his feet. So in keeping with African tradition, if you want to look at the fact that we did have a head, but nonetheless, the whole village, everyone in the village had their individual parts to play. So in most cases, nowadays, we're supposed to have been growing beyond having a so-called leader. But we can only do that if the people learn how to lead themselves. Hold on.
And I would add to that, you know, this goes right into hand-in-hand with what I just talked about agents of influence. These people have been studying our people for a long time, and they know that the masses of our people are actually asleep. And there's a lot of us out here that are hungry and thirsty for knowledge and for information and some sort of spark and some sort of understanding for the culture and climate dealing with black America. That's why they put in Al Sharpton on TV and give him 30 minutes every day so you can have someone to look to, that bright light, even for that short amount of time, thinking that this person actually has your best interest at hand. And that's not to say that he doesn't, that he's not doing good things for black people, but these are pacifying you know, methods that they use to keep our people from really tapping into the self. So that's why terms, you know, black leadership and putting one person at the forefront or making it look like this person actually has some power, in a way it lends to our people staying asleep, because all of us have the power within us to actually be leaders. And the greatest leaders, i.e. Elijah Muhammad, create great leaders. So what we need to do is, you know, we have a savior complex, and a lot of that ties back to Christianity and black people's love for white Jesus, and we're sitting back and waiting for somebody else to do what we actually could be doing. That's why they keep Al Sharptons and certain talking heads at the forefront for us to look to make it seem like somebody's actually making progress, i.e. Barack Obama. And Griff will be the first one to tell you that black people are so starstruck as if he's the second coming of Christ, that a lot of our people have actually gone to sleep. A lot of our so-called black leaders and politicians have gone to sleep just because of the fact that he's made it to the White House. So, yes, we have a savior complex, and we need to kind of come off of that black leader, one person, and start cultivating an environment where we create leaders, because, you know, we had councils of elders. We come from a people that had a council of elders where you were coming to, you know, master teachers who studied for 40 and 42 years in order to get to the point where they could even give you some advice. Now we got these flunkies going and getting master's and bachelor's degrees and PhDs, and now they think they're in a position to tell our people something when they really don't even have the love in their hearts.
What type of effect do you think this has on the black community at large when a quote-unquote black leader such as Al Sharpton is thrown under the bus? Do you think it's demoralizing to those that look up to him as a leader? And do you think that it sort of makes a person give up on the, if you would call it the struggle, or give up on trying?
Well, my thing is, if your open enemy made the leader that you're following, then
right.
they can destroy the leader that
right.
you're following.
Right.
They know exactly what they're doing. It's an agenda. So I was just reading some things to me on a Facebook page in reference to some of the things, the outlandish things that people were saying about Al Sharpton, because some strange reason, they ain't went to one goddamn meeting, National Action Network. All of a sudden, now Al Sharpton is the leader. How did Al Sharpton end up being a leader? So who appointed him the leader? The leader of what? And then where is he leading us to?
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the questions that we have to answer.
Where's the black economic program? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Where's the blueprint for the factories, the hospitals, the airport? All right, where's the land? So when you talk about black leader, you can't compare him to black leaders or a black leader like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad or Marcus Garvey. Are you following me?
Yeah.
See, because Marcus Garvey, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was chosen and by the people and not the enemy.
Right, right.
Of the people. And we have to understand it when we throw this term around. And we have to be very, very, very careful as to not fall into this trap that white people have set and laid for us. And we seem like we fall into it, you know, just hook, line, and sinker, the blind leading the blind. Yes, hold on for a second.
Well, I was going to say, like, this sister came on my page and said, I've never seen anyone on the front lines for black people like Al Sharpton. I'm like, what?
Well, you know, a lot of people feel that way, actually. A lot of people do feel that way.
But you know why? Because they watch TV.
Right, exactly.
TV is their mentor, their guide, is their be-all. That's all they know, what they actually see on television. And the ones who are really speaking truth to power are not going to be on TV.
Right.
So, you know, the idea of – when is the last time Al Sharpton bought cameras to the hood? When is the last time he went up in a prison and brought cameras in there and really talked about the plight of our men and our women and what they're dealing with in the prison industrial complex? So to answer your question, yes, I think it can be demoralizing that people who are constantly sitting around looking at TV and thinking that, okay, we got one bright light up there. As long as he's up there, I feel good about myself. Then when they snatch him down, now you're feeling demoralized because instead of you focusing on being a leader or
right.
building a leader,
right.
you're sitting back and letting white people appoint leaders for you.
Right.
And that's the real problem. And what I want to say just as far as the whole, you know, being an informant and we can't judge him. And, you know, I've heard people say, oh, it was the mob. It doesn't matter. It was the mob. It's like when you speak to truth to power, all of us are going to get to the point where we're in the valley of decision. So they can come at you for speaking truth to power, which they do, which all of our black leaders have done that, or they can come at you when they want to. You sign that paper, and now they come at you and use you whenever they want to. And look at what the repercussion of this is in his life right now. For the everyday average brother and sister on the street, he has no credibility anymore, mob
right.
or not.
Yeah.
And those are the people who he should really be fighting for.
Let me say something. Yo, Brother Rich, he's only the leader, like Zaza said, as long as you're tuning in to these bobbleheads, man, these alphabet boys,
yeah.
CNN, MSNBC, NBCs, and the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. We don't make leaders on TV, bruh.
Right.
Our leaders are made in the street. Am I about it wrong?
You right.
And we have to be very real about this.
Now,
I
was just going to say, what do you think? What is it going to take for us to get rid of this Messiah complex? What is it going to take for us to see and to ignite the leader in ourselves? What's some of the things you think we can start doing as a people? For those out there listening who might be shocked to hear you say that Al's a handpicked leader or that, you know, whatever. What is it going to take for us to go in that lead inside us, do you think, Professor Griff and Sister Zaza Ali?
I think I'm going to say a few. I'll give you a few, and I'll just turn it over to Zaza. I think, number one, we have to be able to recognize the God in the self. That's number one. As long as you're looking for a God outside the self to solve those issues that deal with the self, you will always have that complex. Looking outside of yourself to solve your own issues. You understand what I'm saying? When
yes.
I pull from within to solve my own issues. You following me? So even if they do appoint someone to put in front of us, and regardless of what title and paycheck they give them, and they can call them whatever they want to call them, all right? If his agenda don't match up with my agenda, all right, he ain't leading me no place. I never, ever bought in to these people leading me, the Al Sharptons, Jesse Jacksons, or none of them. All of them are on the payroll. So number one, back to the old age antage of knowledge of self, know thyself.
Know thyself.
That's number one. All right? All right, if we could start there, I'm going to pass it over to Zaza, and then I'll take it back from her.
Yeah, I agree totally with everything that he just said, and I would add to that, stay away from anyone who leads you away from yourself. That
right.
includes the church, that includes the mosque, that includes the Buddhist temples, that
right.
includes the masjid,
right.
that includes the, you know, whatever organization you are part of, anybody that's trying to take away the greatness or that light. You know, I've been around so many people coming up in my life. I had so many ideas and had revolutionary thoughts and ideas coming up as a young woman of things that I was going to do for my people. And our people was the ones among every step of the way that always tried to discourage me. And that was in every different, in a lot of different circles. So the first thing is to stay away from anybody who leads you away from yourself. The second thing is that for each and every one of us, you, Griff, me, to be our best and our brightest and be as excellent as we can everywhere we step foot on this planet. I've been with this brother doing lectures and watching him speak to a room full of people, and I can see a light in their eyes when he stops speaking. He touches and taps into something within our people. And I'm pretty sure with your radio show that you're doing the same, and that's our goal every day when we're on the radio, for each and every one of us to be our best and our brightest. You can't tell me when you see a beautiful black man or a beautiful black woman step into the room, sharp, looking good, speaking right, speaking, you know, well, very well articulated, intelligent, handsome, clean, well-groomed, beautiful, all of those different things. It changes the vibe and the momentum in the room, and our children need to see that. And that's why Malcolm X was so important and all the different leaders that came up, just the way that confidence that they exuded. So each and every one of us just needs to focus on being our greatest and our best self. And that alone in itself, just that visual, and then to be able to be a part of that, like people being able to be a part of Griff, to watch him on YouTube and sit back for 5 and 6 hours and study what it is that he does, it matters. It matters a lot.
Gotcha.
And Brother Rich, I think the next thing, is you have to be the very embodiment of what you teach.
Yeah.
I think you and I and Zaza went over this.
Yeah, we touched on that. Yeah. Yeah, we touched on that.
You can't say and talk it, man, and not be about it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. We actually touched on that when we were dealing with the whole Jay-Z 5%er thing, and you see it done blown up in the media now.
We
had that show about 2-3 weeks ago, so
right.
It's kind of interesting, you know.
Right, Zaza said, you set it off, see?
Oh, man.
Listen, there's a quote from James Baldwin. He says, not everything that is faced can be changed. Nothing can be changed until you face it.
Say that one more time, Professor Griff. One more time.
Nothing, pardon me, not everything that is faced can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it is faced.
Mm.
And that is very real. But let's deal with that from a from esoteric point of view. We're not talking about things that we are faced with in life. We're talking about facing the weakness of self. Because if you don't think yourself to be a leader, you won't be a leader. And we ain't talking about you leading a few people that may follow you because you got a certain degree of knowledge on a certain teaching. We're talking about you leading yourself to the greatness that you are. You understand what I'm saying? Maximizing your potential.
Right.
So we have to be able to face the weakness of self to pull the best out of the self. I know we don't want to get deep into the metaphysical esoteric thing, but that's just something I had to drop on you so we could understand it from a deeper part of the self and pull on that for understanding. Because a lot of times we just think, okay, well, sounds good. It's a nice quote, but what does it actually mean? You understand what I'm saying? We're not going to be faced with everything. It's just not everything that's faced can be changed. We're not trying to change everything. I can only change that which I'm faced with. If I'm not faced with it, then the effectiveness of Professor Griff, can I not change it? If I'm not faced with it, how about if Brother Rich is faced with it and I give you the knowledge?
and you change it, right or wrong.
Right.
But then the quote says, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And that turns it back on the self. You have to face it, man. Plain and simple. And this is what we've been speaking about in this few minutes that we've been speaking on the phone. Dude, if you're moving weight, you got to eat it. You face it, dude. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to wire, then you face that, man. Now, if you want to change that particular dynamic, you may thought you have changed it by putting it in your book. That's fine, whatever, whatever, whatever. But now you got to go deal with them crackers, man, that's trying to expose you once again. Let me tell you something, man. They ain't never letting that dude go. He got to live with that and ride with that one the rest of his life. Hold on for a second.
I think you answered the question. You summed it up. Did you? Yeah. What can I add to that?
Yeah, he pretty much answered that one, nailed that one right there.
Mm-hmm. Yo, this last quote, Rich. It says, wolves do not lose sleep over the opinions of sheep, man.
Yeah, say
wolves
that one.
Wolves don't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep.
Yeah.
These wolves don't care nothing about weak sheep because they know the sheep are too weak to change the reality of a wolf existence. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They ain't worried about no damn sheep like Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton is a useless eater, man, when it comes to politics. Let me tell you something. Fascism, which America promotes, disguised as democracy, needs a black face to it. And we have to be very real about this, man. It needs Barack Obama, all right, in order to thrive. Because young whites have came up on Farrakhan, Nation of Islam, 5% Nation of Gods and Earths, Public Enemy, rap music, hip-hop. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These crackers are slick, man. They know exactly what they're doing. They know the majority of their young people listen to hip-hop. What better way to hook Jay-Z up with Barack Obama, and Barack Obama's now in the White House? Because he gives off his vibe like he's fly and he's down with hip-hop. So Ludacris writes the song, Will I Am, and the rest of these people surround Barack Obama, and he's fly, and he's cool, and he's hip. And absolutely doing nothing, coming up with zero, shooting fucking blanks. And this is very real, man, but we're not going to talk your head off, man.
Well, I definitely appreciate this segment again. This weekly segment is turning out to be a huge success. The people definitely loving y'all. I want y'all to give your contact information again for the new listeners that's tuning in or watching on YouTube about how they may listen to your blog talk show, because y'all on the radio every day as well. Or, you know, if you got an email or phone number, just give it to the people so they can contact y'all.
All right, this is Professor Griffin. The people know that they can reach me at 678-557-2919. And we're on the air every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Enemy Minds Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/MindsMatter. The name of the show is Enemy Minds. It's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. And if people just want to hit me up on Facebook, it's ex-minister Prof. Griff. That's X-M-I-N-I-S-T-A, Prof. Griff. Hold on.
You can hit me up on Facebook as Zaza Ali. We also have an Enemy Minds Radio Facebook page, Enemy Minds Radio. Just hit me up on Facebook, Zaza Ali, hit Griff up. Yeah, and make sure you tune in on Tuesday nights.
If you were around New York in the 1980s and saw Al Sharpton walking around with a suitcase, you might be witnessing a man that had turned informant for the FBI. It turns out that Al Sharpton, now pictured there, back then dramatically heavier and almost a different person, evidently they caught him in a situation where he was forced either to go to jail, face some charges, or flip and start working for the FBI, use his connections with the underworld to unearth some connections for the FBI.
Yeah, apparently the FBI caught him in a... He was...
involved with some drug kingpins, and it was a big coke deal, and they caught him, and they said, Al, you're going to be in big trouble unless you help us, so start recording these people. Apparently, according to the Smoking Gun, he taped mobsters with that briefcase. He helped the feds bring down members of the Genovese crime family. Now, Al himself says, yeah, I probably helped them, but they never told me I was a criminal or any sort of a mob informant or anything like that. Here's Al himself.
They came in 1982-83 after Don King and tried to entrap me in a drug deal that didn't work. Then 7 months later, when I was threatened by members of the mob because I was saying that a lot of concerts should be going to black artists, and I went after them, and I was threatened. I called these FBI guys back, since some of the guys were from California, and told them these are the kinds of things that ought to be investigated.
Right, so he's saying there that the authorities should investigate the mob trying to squeeze black concert promoters, and said that the relationship, according to him, went no further than that. An attempt to discredit him.
Did it for 4 years. He was CI-7.
Yeah,
yes. For confidential informant number 7. It's interesting. Apparently, they worked him until he became Tawana Brawley's special advisor. Remember, she's the one who falsely accused about a half a dozen white men of raping her. They were all exonerated. Turns out she made up the story. Al Sharpton, to the best of my knowledge, who was her advisor, never apologized to those men whose lives they destroyed.
Mm.
I'm not sure. He's got a show on. Maybe he apologizes at some point because we weren't watching the show.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Nobody watches that show.
I'm not sure. Heather Nauert, we watch her?
Hey, we sure do. Good morning, guys. You can't make this stuff up, can you?
You can't.
Today's big breaking story is that Reverend Al Sharpton is an FBI informant, was an FBI informant. You know, who really cares about the details? I'd like to say I'm not surprised, and I'm really not at some level. Like, this is not... Oh, geez, you know, I mean, if you know Al Sharpton, I mean, if you read his Wikipedia page, you know, really, like, does it come as any surprise that this is how he got to where he is? Now, I can't say, oh, yeah, so I expected that, because, you know, I'm not a Sharpton expert, and there have been leaks about this in the past, but, you know, I heard the story this morning, I'm like, okay, well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? I mean... Al Sharpton, you know, and talking trash about Al Sharpton right now would be too easy. I mean, everybody on the radio right now, everybody online is going, oh, Al Sharpton, snitch. You know, and it's like, okay, he was CI-7, confidential informant, 7. You know, and you know, you really think that, like, anybody, you know, trying to excuse him, going, oh, well, he's a snitch, that's good. We believe in law and order and in working for government. You think Al Sharpton one day was like, well, I'm a reverend. I'm a godly man. It is time that we get all of these crack dealers and get this crack epidemic off the streets of New York. I know what I'm going to do. I am going to befriend some mobsters. Yes, I am going to befriend some high-level drug dealers, and I'm going to go to the FBI, and I'm going to tell them all about it, and I'm going to say, oh, yes, I'd like to wear a wire. Really? No, it doesn't happen that way. The dude was caught, and I'm not here to talk trash about that, like him actually providing a legitimate service, because, I mean, like I said, you want to talk trash about Al Sharpton, you know, this is the guy who's used homophobic slurs, who's been anti-Semitic, who took a sponsorship deal from LoanMax, which is this company that really, really makes money from screwing over poor people. You know, I mean, to the Tawana Brawley controversy, I mean, there's like with one thing after another. And then you see Al Sharpton at the White House. You see him, like, shaking hands with the president, like... You see him on MSNBC. You see, like, you know, all of these, like, just major state events. He's like, he's Obama's go-to guy. He's America's reverend. Really? Here's what he had to say about Mormons. This is going back to 2007 about Mitt Romney. As for the one Mormon running for office, I mean, maybe he was being clever, but, like, who really talks that way? I mean, you know, this is a guy that's just full of it. As for the one Mormon running for office, those who really believe in God will defeat him anyway, so don't worry about that. That's a temporary situation. Now, you don't... please don't get me started on organized religion and the hypocrisy that it represents. But, our God is better than your God, therefore somebody who believes in our God is going to be president and is going to tell you and the rest of the world how it's going to be. Really? And people fall for it. I mean, it's pretty successful, long-standing racket. And, you know, he said back, and this was back in his fat days, back when Reverend Al was fat. I don't want to talk shit about that. I want to talk shit about him being skinny now. Part of his reawakening, his reimagining. That's great. You know, you've been fat all your life. You get skinny. You know, great. Good for you. Al Sharpton looks like he doesn't know how to be thin. Do you see that in his face? It's like there's, you know, the extra skin. It's just like he's uncomfortable in his body. It's like he was happier being fat. I mean, I don't know. What he said, and he's talked about this in the past, all the stuff about the FBI has come out before, or at least not like today, but, you know, various parts of it. And he said that they were trying to entrap a young minister who just so happened to be talking to coke dealers and mob bosses and Don King and all these other shady characters in New York. Yeah, the FBI, you know, they just love going after those good young ministers that have nothing better to do than, you know, fight the crack epidemic in New York City. Right. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. One of the gangs, one of the mafia gangs, one of the families, they knew that he was an informant the whole time. Now, think about this for a second. If you're doing something bad and you get caught and you're the kind of guy that turns snitch, you're just showing how devoid of any kind of moral grounding you are. And this really, again, explains Sharpton like nothing else. You go, okay, yeah, makes perfect sense. Wow, that's how we got to where he is today. And it's this mentality of duping people, of playing a game. And I have to think that if one gang knew that he was an informant, he was really working for them. Think about this for a second. You're an informant for the FBI, and you're wearing wires or carrying them in a briefcase to talk to mob bosses, and one of them knows you're an informant, and the rest don't. Who the hell do you think you're really working for? And the fundamental scam at the bottom of all this is the same as government itself. Why does government go after organized crime? For the same reason that any organized crime organization goes after other organized crime organizations. And in organized crime, a guy like Al Sharpton can be very, very useful. And that is Reverend Al Sharpton Explained. Oh shit, I'm 9 inches away from your crotch and I'm feeling your...
And what are you doing?
Just talking to some...
Oh, let me give you my daily dose of Al. Al, you're cracking me up now, brother. Al is cracking me up trying to defend himself. Just look at the expression on his face. It's obvious he's lying. It's so damn obvious. Al, you a snitch, dude. Come on.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Early.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I'm loving you more each day. But the word got in my way.
Can't sing no more sad songs. Hey, Curtis, this supposed to be your night, right? Let's have some happy time. Brian, I'm going to give you a count off. The rest of y'all come in when I tell you, right?
What the hell's he doing?
1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of me. Bop, bop, bop. Yeah, bass man, come on up. 1, 2, 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay in your seats. We're back live in 2 minutes.
Yes, yes, yes. Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got S-O-U-L, soul. Al Sharpton in a nutshell, everybody. I mean, that's who he is, and that's what he is. That's who he is, and that's what he is. I couldn't get to those callers that were calling in during the midst of my man Griff speaking down, but go on there and call in 347-838-9825. And we can go from that point on. Let's continue about Sharpton. Come on, call
this
in, call
in.
This
is Yvette Carnell from Your Black World and Breaking Brown. And for most of you who have been watching the news today, you know that the news broke that Reverend Al Sharpton is officially a snitch. He is officially a guy who provided information on a mob crime family to the FBI, and that was revealed late yesterday evening by the Smoking Gun. And so I brought Pascal Robert on to kind of flesh this out, in a sense, to get us to understand exactly what this means for black people, what this means for black leadership, what this means for the community as a whole, what it means for Al Sharpton's future. So, you know, to put that in a package, I want to just draw out something in the sense of, you know, Al Sharpton was the guy who led the Trayvon Martin, you know, rabble rousing. He was the guy who is the go-to guy for the black community at the White House. So I just wanted to kind of pick at Pascal's brain for a second and just get an idea of how he feels that this impacts the black community in terms of Al Sharpton being revealed to have been an FBI informant. You know, Pascal, in your mind, does that have an impact? Does that have an impact on who we are and our mission as black people?
Well, I think that, and thanks for having me on, but I think the first thing we have to realize is that allegations of Al Sharpton being an FBI informant are not really new. They may be new to large segments of the black community or the community in general, but even as of the last 2 years, there was a report, I think it was one of Voices blogs, as a matter of fact, that was reporting on how there were allegations that he may have had something to do with an attempt to capture Ahsan Shakur. As you know, Ahsan Shakur was a member of the Black Liberation Army who had been who expatriated herself to Cuba under the guise of you know, basically escaping FBI persecution for an alleged murder of a police officer that many people believe was a trumped-up charge. And so that was, I think, the first time in the internet age that people had seen these allegations of Al Sharpton's participation as a federal informant. But there have been media reports going back to the 80s, but I don't think that because of the timing in which they came about, for example, there was someone I've noted today in social media that in 88 there was a report in Newsday, which is a newspaper in New York, and I grew up in New York, and I grew up with, you know, in the Al Sharpton and Koch era, and I remember Al Sharpton vividly. And what people have to realize is that the kind of the posture that Al Sharpton has vis-a-vis the black community right now as a kind of the go-to respectable civil rights leader was not always the position that he was viewed as when I was growing up in New York City. He was, I mean, there are many people who believe that his aesthetics, the way he looked, he was very feminine, with the permed hair, wearing jumpsuits and truck jewelry, made him somewhat unseemly. Many people consider him just a kind of shady street corner preacher, but I can assure you that the majority of black folks didn't particularly know that he was working as a federal informant. And what is more revealing to in these allegations to me is how he became a federal informant. Because they, you know, going back in African American history, there are many leaders, even Du Bois, during World War II, considered working with military intelligence as an informant. I mean, I'm not saying that these are good things, but we have to realize that within the continuum of African American history, having people who are considered esteemed leaders being either approached or participating in working with the federal government to the detriment of more radical segments of the community is not new. The NAACP, during the civil rights movement, was purging black communists from its leadership. They were actually non-black communist. So I'm not saying that to excuse this type of behavior. I think it's questionable, and I'll sum up my overall thoughts on it a little bit later on, but I'm trying to put this in a larger context that the history of African-American perceived leaders' cooperation with federal agents that have been traditionally damaging to the interests of the black community. I mean, don't forget, Du Bois is working with military intelligence, and less than 10, 15, within the same period of time, Marcus Garvey is being destroyed by the FBI and by, I mean, Hoover. Hoover gets his bones in the FBI by destroying Marcus Garvey, as a matter of fact. So the bigger question for me is that not so much, I mean, it was problematic, of course, that Al Sharpton was an informant, but what the report on the smoking gun revealed that I don't think was known, even by people who were aware of his participation, is that basically Al Sharpton was an asset of organized crime of the mafia in New York City. That, you know, according to the way he became an asset, is that because he was involved in the entertainment industry working with Don King, he was considered to be very valuable to the organized crime element of what they call the Five Families in New York, and he had basically been their go-to man. These are the allegations according to the smoking gun for quite a while, while he was in that life. And the way he was turned to an informant was an allegation that he was basically approached by an undercover officer in a drug deal, and the fear of the repercussions of having that exposed kind of forced him to turn. That to me was a very, very damaging allegation. There was a video that surfaced years ago that showed him in that particular exchange, and I definitely find the whole thing is unseemly. But to get to your particular question, so what does this mean for the black community today? The question that needs to be asked is, we have to understand that Obama administration, clearly with the powers of the state, had to be aware of Al Sharpton's history participating with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They had to be aware of these allegations of mafia ties. They had to be aware of this alleged role as, getting involved in this questionable drug deal. So what is more pertinent to me is that why would the President of the United States that it was important to have an individual who already had a relatively questionable history vis-a-vis black leadership that had this very, very tainted introduction to society in terms of how he became a popular figure? Why would that be the person that would be your go-to man for issues in the African-American community? And the first thing that strikes my mind is that it guarantees loyalty. It guarantees absolute loyalty, because obviously this would be an individual who wants to make sure that his personal history is rehabilitated. And if you look at the narrative that Al Sharpton is basically promoting in the last few months, it's about his whole, there was a special on Oprah, there was a special on, I think, a few other television networks about his rehabilitation. His whole narrative that is being promoted right now is how, I remember he uses, I think it's the Bible verse, the rejected stone becomes the cornerstone. He was a rejected stone. I saw a special, it was like a one-hour special, I think, on TV1. It was talking about his background. He didn't have his father. It was a very, it was a sympathetic story. But the bottom line, one big, it was one 800-pound gorilla in the room that was missing from that narrative, is that you were basically a sidekick to the mob, and you were an FBI informant. You skipped that part when you were telling us how you became the Dean, Val. So the bigger question for me in terms of what this means for African Americans is that what does it say that we have leaders who have been acting in positions of advocacy for us that are seeming that they are dissent from status quo forces when they have in the past cooperated as agents to possibly entrap radical black activists like Assad Shakur, who definitely bring forth problems to organized crime? I mean, what it brings forth this question of manufacturing dissent. In other words, when you have these leaders, who have these histories, who have, a file that you can easily pull, and they're basically advocating for Trayvon Martin, or they're protesting, so on and so forth, if the government, which is the ultimate entity that we want to bring our pleas to change behavior, or the private sector, particularly the government, has these records of them participating with the state to be an informant, and they have dirt on these individuals, it makes the whole process of the quote-unquote black leadership, and this goes back to the piece I wrote, Historical Failure of Black Leadership, seem somewhat dubious, because these people they have a history of contact that is not particularly seamless.
Well, you brought up another point when we talked, and this was a particularly pertinent point to me. The document by the Smoking Gun makes the case that Sharpton has been an informant since the early 80s. Now, keep in mind, this is the time when he said he was pushing for all these reforms, you know, from the New York
Warner
City.
Brother, in the 80s,
yeah, and when you look at it, this is a guy who said he was pushing for reforms, right? And at the same time, this is the guy who is working for the government. He's working for the federal government on one end, but on the other hand, he's out there saying, hey, I'm working for the people. You know, I'm out there, you know, doing the work for the people. And this brings me back to today when I say, you know, I've
3473982. Lost that call. Y'all called back. And I didn't have, dude, your phone was popping out, man. And like you said, it is a guy working for the people, say down for the people, but informant on the people. The Smoking Gun even say he's an operative now. Operative of people who set people up. He said he's a cat chasing rat. Now, let me tell you what that means. How do a cat catch a rat? A cat catches a rat by making a rat a rat. So if that guy was not a rat and that cat got him caught up and made that guy become a rat to flip on other people, that's how a cat catches a rat. I think they call him right back again.
Oh, let me give you my daily dose of Al. Al, you're cracking me up now, brother. Al is cracking me up trying to defend himself. Just look at the expression on his face. It's obvious he's lying. It's so damn obvious. Al, you a snitch, dude. Come on, come clean. Just own up to it. Say, yeah, I'm a snitch. You're damn right. I was cleaning up the neighborhood. You a snitch. I'm just having too much fun with Al Sharpton being a snitch. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense, E.T. Williams. Please visit the website at www.whateverhappenedtocommonsense.com. Well, we are getting our daily dose of Al Sharpton. And he tried to call a meeting with the National Action Network headquarters. Said, damn it, I'm going to have a meeting. I'm going to speak some facts. I'm going to kick the ballistics. I'm going to show you people that I'm innocent. And listen to what he said. He says, rats are usually people that are with other rats. I was not and am not a rat because I wasn't with the rats. I'm a cat. I chased the rats. Does he sound like Dr. Seuss or what? That is a quote out of Dr. Seuss' book, man. Rats are usually people that are with other rats. You are with other rats, fool. What you talking about? He just condemned himself without even knowing it. He said rats are usually with other rats. Jesse Jackson, Miss NBC. What are you talking about? You was hanging out with the mob, Don King. You was with rats. What are you talking about? He said rats are usually with rats. I wasn't a rat. I'm a cat. I chase the rat. God, you can't even make this up. That's his quote. That's his quote. Al Sharpton is a cat. What's up, cool cat? Cool cat said he chased the rats. Y'all got Al twisted, he said. He wasn't done. He says, I think it's very interesting. Then he got real distinguished then. He said, I think it's very interesting that many of those who are condemning me for the fighting crime and now were condemned for fighting crime? Now you're condemning me for fighting crime? Usually you said we should fight crimes in our own neighborhood. So you admitting to being a snitch, though. Won't you just own up to it? You say, yeah, I snitched, I was fighting crime. Come on, then. You can't have it both ways, Al. Either you are a snitch or you're not a snitch. Now, if you're saying that you was fighting crime, you're still a snitch. Just say it. Just say you was fighting crime. Al said he was doing the community some good. There's a whole bunch of other people you need to get out of the community then, Al. And they're killing people down there, brother. But Al says it is interesting to me as we deal with the whole criminalization of many in our community. It's our now. Oh, he done went like the village. It's our. That the premise of a lot of this media is that I should have been with the mob rather than with the government. The government is the damn mob you talking about, man. It is the mob. That's legalized mobilization. What are you talking about? The government is the mob. Now what Al, let me interpret what Al's trying to say. because he said he's a cool cat. He chased the rats. He's not a rat because the rats hang with rats. He's been hanging with rats, but he's not really a rat. He's actually a cat. You get that? Dr. Seuss, you need to write a book on this, Dr. Seuss. Al's giving you free material. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them Sam I Am. I would not eat them in a car. I do not eat them in a bar. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them Sam I Am. Al was upset, though. He was, yeah, you called me a snitch, but yeah, I did snitch. Hold on a minute. Al said that he was a cat. I thought he was a dog. Okay, wait a minute. Al said he...
The Reverend Al Sharpton has said that a report that he spied on New York Mafia figures for the FBI in the 1980s is old news, and he said that he never considered himself an informant. In my own mind, I was not an informant, Sharpton said. I was cooperating with an investigation. Sharpton called a news conference at his Harlem headquarters to talk about a story posted Monday on the website The Smoking Gun that said he had recorded conversations with mobsters. The website said Sharpton was recruited by a police FBI task force to record conversations with mafia figures using electronic equipment hidden in a briefcase. It claimed he was known as Confidential Informant Number 7 in court papers. Sharpton said he went to the FBI after he was threatened by mobsters working in the music business, a story he recounted in his 1996 book, Go and Tell the Pharaoh. Sharpton acknowledged using a recording device in a briefcase, but said he did nothing wrong. The Smoking Gun posted dozens of pages of documents that it said showed Sharpton's dealings with mob figures. Sharpton said his lawyers would review the documents. What is interesting is Sharpton said clearly he was not an associate of mobsters, but was threatened by mob figures who controlled the music business. It raises questions what his real ties were to the mobsters, as he clearly has high ties in today's political world. It especially raises certain eyebrows about his background when friends and family members gathered recently at the White House for a private celebration of Michelle Obama's 50th birthday, and Al Sharpton was also present. The high-profile Obama supporter was also on the dais atop the U.S. Capitol steps last year when the president was sworn in for a second term. He was seated in front of the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, two rows behind Beyonce and Jay-Z, and about 20 feet from Eric Holder, the country's top law enforcement officer. As head of the Department of Justice, Attorney General Holder leads an agency that once reported that Obama's inauguration guests also had La Cosa Nostra contacts beyond Gotham and engaged in conversations with LCN members from other parts of the United States.
Now, and that's saying Al Sharpton is plugged in with La Cosa Nostra. Now, earlier we played that he's plugged in with Jimmy Hinchman, and everybody knows Jimmy Hinchman had Tupac set up. There's even rumors that he tried to set up Asante Shakur. I mean, it's funny. We're in the middle of the 21st century, in the beginning of the 21st century. And like I told my old lady, my mama, I said, "Nah, mama, everything that was hidden will come out. All these cats will have their day." I got a caller coming in. What's going on, 2-1? Sean, what's going on, Sean? How you doing there?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. What's all this stuff about, you know, Al Sharpton? I mean, how you doing, snitch on some crackers? What's wrong with that?
No, he's spying on James Brown, the Jacksons. Hey, listen, go get the Smoking Gun. Do you remember Sugar Hill Records?
I mean, the dude, he doing good, though, man. I mean, you would do the same thing, Jimmy. If you was in the Republican Party and found out that they don't like black people, you going to wear a wire?
No.
Or you ain't going to snitch on them? You ain't going to snitch on them? You ain't going to snitch on them? You want to snitch on the,
I'll go like this. If I looked out my window.
You would be a Tom if you didn't. You would be a straight Tom.
If I looked out the window and saw somebody raping somebody, robbing somebody, breaking some in a car, I'll call the police. You know what I mean? I'm a law-abiding citizen. But if me and Sean wanted to be on the corner selling dope, and I got caught. I ain't telling on Sean. I got caught.
But like you said, he wasn't doing the dirt. He wasn't doing the dirt with them. He just happened to be around them.
Well, listen,
they was doing the dirt, and they wanted his company.
He got caught moving keys.
Wait a minute. He got caught moving some keys.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Where he got caught moving some keys at?
Okay. Let's go to the beginning. Al Sharpton was set up by an informant to buy a bunch of cocaine keys to sell to the Genovese family. I'm talking about was in the property. Anyway.
Okay.
Once they found out they was busted, and they knew he was plugged in with the mob, they used him at that time to go spy on the mob. Then they found out that he was plugged in the radio, the record.
Wait a minute. You twisting around. Did they want his company, and they was already doing dirt, and they just wanted him to be around, and he did see them, and so he snitched on them. What's wrong with that? He wasn't doing the dirt. Was he doing it? Was he making any money from it?
Yes, he was.
He was making money from doing the deals. No. You see, you trying to flip the tongue.
I'm gonna give you an example. 1984, the Victory Tour, when Al Sharpton shook down the Jackson fan, that they got enough black workers, and they gave him all those tickets, and then he scalped those tickets, and he started shaking down Don King. He was shaking down Don King, shaking down a Jackson, shaking down. He was spying, wearing a wire on James Brown.
Look, Don King was a criminal, man.
Hold on. He went around James Brown. He also wearing a wire on Sugar Hill Records. Now, how about this? Him and Jimmy Hitchman.
Jimmy Irvine,
a.k.a. Jimmy Hinchman, who had Tupac shot in New York, was trying to do a cover show called Judge Sharpton. Now, what I'm saying is this. Al Sharpton. Now, you know how I feel about the Trayvon Martin thing. Me talked about this. I said, here come Al Sharpton and Trayvon Martin scandal. Yeah, all those black people really down there march and do something positive. And what he did, he distracted them and sent them to the wrong place. See, that's what people like him does. Now, instead of all those people going down to the state building on that stand your ground law and all of that and where the real energy was, he took them to a place where George Zimmerman got off. Just when everybody came down to the riot and make a move and like we not taking this no more, they sent Al Sharpton again. Let's go to Genesis 6. This refreshing your mind. Genesis 6, when everybody got tired of them black men discriminating about some tree, and beat them over a tree, the main media source didn't put that out there. The black press put that out there. And every time the black press put that out there and blacks get up and mobilize and make a move, here come your boy Al Sharpton. Now, I guess that's right.
He brings spotlight to it because black folks mobilizing
No. What happened was everything got shut down. And you said it, too. I can replay the tape when you said you hope Al Sharpton will go down there and mess it up. He's going to fuck it up. Because you know he's going to go down there and do it. Because in your mind, your subconscious mind, you know that he's a plant to set things up like that. You ain't going to admit it.
No, I ain't never said that. You said that.
I can rewind the tape and you saying that you hope Al Sharpton don't go down there.
I mean, be happy. Look, be happy the man brings spotlight
You did not want him to go down there because you know he would stop the movement that was about to happen. And you knew that.
I didn't know that. You must have talked to somebody else.
I'm happy the man went
down there.
No, man, listen. It's 2014, and things have changed. But, you know, we go to 2012 when it jumped off, 2 years ago when it jumped off. You always go back to the Trayvon Martin show, on my archives, and you will see that you had said that we don't want Al Sharpton to go down there. I took the position, nobody's going to go down there, ain't going to happen. You know, go to the state capitol,
No, you was like, no, you was like, go down there, tear it up, ride. We ain't taking it no more. And then he was like, yeah, then the streets. And Al Sharpton came. He's like, man, I hope you'll go down there because it's going to stop the movement, which it did. Same with Genesis 6, which it did.
Stop
all
the
he
movement.
Does is stops movement.
I don't recall this.
Yeah, hold on. Trayvon is quiet. George Zimmerman is still out there. Is Al Sharpton fight for Trayvon now? Is he? No, because it's over now. And George Zimmerman is walking the streets right now. Is he jumping on Zimmerman like everybody jumped on OJ? No. No. He did his job. You're quiet now. You're not talking about it no more. He set you up. He set all the niggas up. He did his job. That's why we can't make a move. Because they'll sit Al Sharpton. Everybody be like, yeah. Keeping it real, Al Sharpton said, be quiet. We got to hush it down. Yeah, Zimmerman got off. Let's leave it alone. Hey, some more black guys got shot down in Florida. Where was he at then? Come on now. See, I'm just saying. You can't pick and choose your battles. He pick and choose his battles. Now, he gets black folks to be quiet. Zimmerman's on the loose, taking MMA classes, beat this woman, let that be an OJ. But here we got a man named Al Sharpton with the mic, with the media, who's supposed to be friendly with the Martins, who wanted to see justice for the Martins. He can use the show for a platform that makes George Zimmerman show a living hell like Geraldo did, like all the other white medias did when OJ got off. But no, that wasn't his job. His job was to make sure that blacks can go down and instill the status quo. So you can go and defend the guy what you want to defend the guy, but I'm coming like this. Through the history of black America, there have been guys like him that kept guys like you from doing the things that you want to do. And you don't even know that guys like him undid it. Because you speak of guys like him. The movement is over for guys like him. Trayvon Martin is an afterthought now. An afterthought. George Zimmerman, he's got away with murder. And Al Sharpton, let's get justice, action now. He played the biggest distraction on, so he made it easier for George Zimmerman to get off. If Al Sharpton to go down there, all the, you know something.
I'm looking at this. You trying to get off the topic because you can't win on the topic. Al Sharpton is a snitch. He's a snitch. He did it for the good of black people, and you trying to get off the topic.
No, he's not.
He's snitched for the good of black folks.
No, listen. In his own words, he's not a snitch. He's an operative. What's the difference between a snitch and an operative?
Well, he's an operative for the good of black folks. He told on some cracker mob people, and he told on some dirty black people who was doing black people wrong, like Don King.
He set up Asada Shakur.
Well, how do you set her up?
So he snitched.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
That's why she was on the run. That's why she came back to America now. Because of people like Al Sharpton, who she was close to in New York City, who told everybody where to wear a mask for she to pick out the door. Everybody know that, man. Read the book.
Wait a minute, who is Asada Shakur?
Hold on, Jameer. Can I get a brief minute on who Asada Shakur was, please? To my people in the audience, Sean, does that know who Asada Shakur was before you get out of here? I put it on mute. I got a background on Asada Shakur for you. Here you go. Hit it, Jameer. Hold on, Jameer. I ain't got you queued up. You queued up now.
Look it up. She was one of the part of the militia in the back in the 70s, and they were raising money through the Black Panther Party and some other areas, and they set them up as far as assassinating sheriffs and shooting on the highway, and they sent her to jail. They sent her to jail and put her in an all-male jail. Supposedly she was knocked out by some people close to the organization and shot Asada Shakur.
Broke out.
Yeah, she did, but she stayed there and she would not speak. And she was gone for a longer time. And once she got out, because
yes, and so Al Sharpton took her out. Now
Al Sharpton took her out. I ain't hear nothing about that.
Read the books.
Her first name is A S S A T S.
Sada Shakur.
All right, for you say stuff like that, get the quotes to say that he did it in his book and show that he did it, or you know,
hey man,
read
hey,
it
hey,
off.
Hey.
So, I ain't never heard that.
What we're saying is this: in the fed stage, all you're gonna see is CI1. CO2, the names never be mentioned. And right now, if you go, as a matter of fact, go to the smoking gun. Go to the smoking gun. Pull up the files. FBI files on them. You see, the only names that have been revealed are the names of the dead people, but they have identified them as CI1, CI8. CI1 is Al Sharpton. CI8 is Reverend Al Sharpton. Those are the names that he put together. I mean, those names the government gave him. Now, he's been spying on the government. He's worked with the government since 1983. And once you go from a CI, that's a confidential informant, to an operative are the ones that go in and set the whole motion in order to cause chaos and confusion. So all this job is now to do is to distract the Americans. Now, he calls up an operative. And that's what he is. You know, so that's what he does. You there?
Okay.
Hello?
Okay.
I mean, he's an operative. He's an FBI operative. And he would admit that. Now, you go for a rat, snitch, yeah. When you move up to the level of operative, then that means you don't want to go throw a rock until everybody run. You don't want to go. You don't want to go stab somebody to get everybody off.
You get more protection in the long run because
when you're operative, that's when you get protected because they need to go in dirty because right there, at that time they know you are valuable. And he's an operative. You know. And everybody said you have to be there. Everybody said Tawana Brawley was the biggest distraction ever to happen because he knew that nothing happened. And he just used that girl to step in to become a civil rights activist because he needed to be a civil rights activist. And that's what the first step he did to get into the public limelight. Like he fought for Tawana Brawley. And then a couple of years it came out that she lied. But nobody cares. He got away with it. And everybody see who he is right now. Al Sharpton is a dirty man. It is going down. This is Jimmy Underground Radio Network. Everybody should be free to take care. Just go look at Smoking Gun. And you make the judgment for yourself. Don't let the people on this radio station give you that information. Make the judgment for yourself, and you can see if Al Sharpton a freedom fighter or a snitch.
He's a freedom fighter. He snitched for black people. He was snitching for the good cause of black people. Tawana Brawley was a liar, and he did a good thing.
Tawana Brawley.
If he snitched on what's her name Shakur for shooting at some police, then she shouldn't have been hiding. She can't do dirty and other black people get blamed for it. She should have came out and told on herself. If he snitched, well then hey, she shouldn't have been hiding and letting other black people take the fall.
Why can't he be spying on the president right now? Why can't he be spying on the president right now?
Huh?
Why can't he be spying on the president right now?
Why can't he be what?
Spying on the president right now. He's an operative.
If he is, then if he is, he is.
I'm just saying. That's
the
your boy.
Once you're
operative, always an operative. Operatives have been the destructor
Jimmy, why are you getting in politics? All politicians are operatives in a way.
Political operative, you be a political operative or FBI operative. You can be a music operative. It's how you operate.
Well,
it's still working alongside the government.
Let's go MO.
MO means method of operation. It all depends on what your method of operation is. Or your method.
If you walk in with politics, look, you still a small time snitch. Because you gonna tell somebody to keep yourself out.
I guess so. I guess you could be correct there. Okay. This is Sean opinion, everybody. Good night, may God be with you.
Hi.
Let me show you.
Let me show you the way to go. All right.
Let me show you.